Welcome, Fruit Faithful. It's your host and produce pathfinder in the cult of kumquat. Yes, Zach Huddleston, back with another episode of Fruitful. I'll be your lime leader, your pomegranate pioneer, your droop docent, here to guide you through the grapes and guavas of the world to find yourself living a better, more informed, more fruit-filled life. It took me a while to write that intro. Thank you. This is the last episode of season one. Thank you for your feedback and your support on all the episodes that have come before this. I really hope you'll like season two even better. It'll be starting off next week. No gap between the two. My wonderful guest on this episode is Chris Alvarado, a talented actor and improviser. Performs all over Los Angeles, and you can see him in commercials and television shows and all kinds of great stuff. He continues the theme of people I'm close friends with and perform improv with on a weekly basis. But Chris has a unique point of view on life and on fruit, and he was gracious enough to share that with me and with you, the audience. A kiwi is the smallest species in the family of birds that includes ostriches and emus and are native to Australia and New Zealand. They're chicken-sized, flightless birds that lay the largest egg in relation to their body size of any bird in the world. A kiwi is also a demonym, or nickname, for residents of New Zealand, like how Americans are called Yankees or Canucks or Canadians, or people from Bermuda are called onions. Yes, Bermudans are willfully called onions. Kiwi is also the name of a New Zealand dollar. New Zealand is a country of 4.5 million people in the South Pacific, and they really like the word kiwi. You know, they say Eskimos have over 50 words for snow, and it seems like New Zealanders have just one word for everything. You know, kiwi's even the name of an Australian shoe polish company. So I guess that proves that not only kiwis can name something kiwi. Actinidia chinensis, aka Chinese gooseberry, is a fruit originating in central China, but only commercially cultivated in the early 20th century in, you guessed it, New Zealand. The Chinese gooseberry became a favorite of British and American GIs stationed in New Zealand during World War II. The fruit was delicious, but the name, it was a mouthful. Needing a marketable name for their delicious brown fuzzy fruit, the New Zealanders didn't have to look far for their new fruit name. It was literally everywhere, as the name of everything else on those two islands. Thus, Chinese gooseberry became kiwi fruit, soon to be shortened outside of New Zealand to just kiwi. On today's episode, we'll be eating Gold 3 kiwis, marketed as Sun Gold kiwis by the company Zespri. They're a branded cultivar, of course, from New Zealand. They look similar on the outside to the kiwis we've grown to love, but they have yellow flesh instead of green flesh. Some people think they're more delicious than their green brothers. We'll be the judge of that on this kiwi fruit episode of Fruitful. Now is the part where we transition from our friendly banter and I force you. We're having a lovely conversation. We're connecting as two humans. And I'm going to break that.
Let's do that.
I'm going to break that spell. I'm going to force this into an arbitrary direction of, Chris, what's your relationship like with fruit?
I'd say it's pretty complicated.
Okay. Yeah.
It's pretty complicated for a number of reasons that I don't know that I'll be able to spell out eloquently, but I associate like socioeconomic qualities to fruit. I grew up in kind of a crummy neighborhood and kind of a rocky childhood and stuff, which if you've ever heard me on a podcast, I've always I lead with those words. But because of that, I don't know, there just wasn't much fruit around, and not a lot of like, no one taught me about nutrition. I mean, you know the stuff you learn in school, but that's it. So I'm gonna choose an Oreo over a gross apple any day of the week.
Yeah.
That said, as I get older and and try to live my best life, for lack of a better word or term, I find myself going towards things that are good for me and that don't make me feel like shit all the time. And fruit has been one of those things. And last thing I'll say is, recently I spent a weekend with some people at a place in Ojai, a bunch of college friends, not my college friends, but friends. And every night they were making these great meals, right? And cooking together. And these are all smart, successful people. And one night somebody made this gigantic bowl of just mixed fresh fruit. And I tell you, I felt like a king. I felt rich. Oh. I felt successful. And frankly, almost a little bit like a fraud, because like I didn't bring that fruit and I don't have the jobs they have. But it was like, oh yeah, this is like what I always wanted to be when I grew up type stuff.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Isn't that, that's probably too fascinating.
No, that's wonderful. And thank you so much for sharing that, because I think that's a totally different perspective than anybody I've talked to about this. And I want to talk about that fruit salad for just a second, because I think like a recurring theme that comes up when I talk to people, and just in general, when you talk to people about like the best meal they ever had or their favorite food memories, right? The food is important. And I'm sure that fruit you're eating was ripe and was delicious and all this kind of stuff. But it's always about who you're with, where you're at, how you're feeling in your life, you know, like all these kind of things. Like my favorite food memories are more about like the jokes and the laughs mm-hmm. we were sharing at the table mm-hmm. than they are about the piece of meat or the vegetables or whatever, you know, like of course the food needs to be good. Yeah. You don't have any great food memories that are about dog shit, right. Tostitos or whatever, right. You know, but everything else.
You're right. And in that weekend that I just mentioned in Ojai, there was like just rich conversation about different topics and not just like garbage stuff. So that fruit really just added to that whole experience. You're absolutely right. It was like, yeah, well, of course this is what we eat when we're discussing our views on modern art. What I mean? And it's like my brain was expanding, not to mention I'm not putting shit in my body, sure. which is something I've stopped doing.
And Ojai's like, for people that don't know, it's like a nice, like it's up in the mountains kind of a thing. Yeah. It's like a natural setting. It's still, you're not in the middle of nowhere, but it's like much more forested than the Los Angeles that we live in.
That's right.
And so like how nice to have this natural food and this natural setting.
And come on, man, you're feeling good. You're feeling good. The last thing you want to do at that moment is eat, you know,
a wet burrito or something like that.
That's right. That's right.
A roll of Thin Mints or something.
That's exactly right. And also, isn't that something too, like, when in the past I had indulged in like disgusting food or bad for you food or shitty food, it was also synonymous with my feeling shitty about myself. Frankly. So it is interesting to get to a point and an age where I'm trying to take care of myself, and then I find myself really enjoying this type of food.
Well, and circling back to like your approach to comedy and your art, you bring an intensity to everything you do. Yeah. And like, I know from having known you the last few years, like you've brought an intensity to kind of like your wellness, like your approach to all the food you eat, exercise, mental health, mm-hmm. all this kind of stuff, right? You're very driven in all that stuff. And I'll talk to you sometimes when you're doing some kind of challenge or you're doing a fitness thing or whatever. Yeah. And you're like, I've been on almonds and
water and shakes for 30 days. Yeah. I mean, but let's not get it twisted for our listeners. That's the same way I approach bad things.
Everything.
So,
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I was with alcohol and cocaine and cigarettes.
Yeah. You pour that focus into, well, I mean, that's often the case, right? You don't change your intensity. You just redirected it more healthy pursuits, right?
I never really considered that, but you're right.
And I mean, it's impressive. Like every time I see you, you're like very driven about something, and it's somebody like me and you know, you've known me, like I try to eat well and I usually do and like, and whatever. And then I see you and you're like, haven't touched a carb in 91 hours or whatever.
But you know what though? It's interesting, especially with our relationship, is that I've always seen you as somebody who has taken care of themselves and is very smart and all these great qualities you have. And so I feel that I lacked those for the majority of my life, whether that's true or not, my own personal self-worth, and I didn't feel good. And so I think part of my intensity is I'm trying to supercharge this experience so I can get to like where you are, where you say a sentence like, well, my knowledge of agriculture, you know, like I feel like I can't get there unless I'm going 110 miles per hour in that direction.
Yeah.
I feel like, I mean, even when I read, I haven't read for pleasure in a decade because I feel like I need to read the things that we're supposed to, you know, things that you've definitely already read.
Well, or I don't read enough either. But yeah, so you're like, I need to be reading this like self-help thing.
Self-help or a classic.
Nonfiction
or a classic. Yes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, those are, I feel that exact same way. I always feel, I know you probably think of me as, I mean, that's so kind of you to think of me as like somebody that's like, you know, farther along some track or whatever.
I feel like you are.
But like, I feel that way too. I'm like, God damn it. I don't read or go to museums or see plays enough. You're the one that's usually doing all that shit.
Well, it's funny. Just quickly on that, what I've come to realize is the people that I've approached who I've looked up to or admired, when I say what I just said to you about like, man, like you've seemed to have things going well and you're so well-rounded, they always go like, I'm not doing what I should be doing. You know what I mean? Everybody has that.
It's everybody.
And I think that goes, yeah, it's across the board.
And it's a great feeling, actually, to be like, because we build it up in our head that we're chasing this or we're, this person's farther along in the race or whatever. And then you realize like, man, we're all moving right and left and up and down. And
that's right. Yeah. That's right.
I do want to circle back to you talking about your childhood and that like that's so fascinating, the socioeconomic association with fruit. And you know, they talk about, you're from Downey, California. Mm-hmm. They talk about food deserts or whatever. We're like in the middle of an urban area and Downey is urban. It's a relatively densely populated place. Like, there's just not great access often to like good food. And it's like, if you have like, if it's like the 7-Eleven or the bodega, you don't have a Whole Foods on every corner in Downey if you have a Whole Foods at all.
Right.
You know, or whatever, or just like access to produce. And then certainly like, you know, a lot of people don't think of like a bunch of bananas as being like a big investment, but when you got a couple bucks to spend on food and it's like, well, I could get a full meal at this drive-through or whatever versus like two organic apples or something.
That's
that,
right.
That plays a big factor.
A huge factor. And also where I grew up, and maybe it was like the time, maybe everyone felt this way, but like I felt duped constantly. Mm. Meaning, you know, I thought Snapple was a healthy drink or, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like these like kind of false labels that they would put on things. And so, you know, my parents, frankly, didn't know better either. And so, like, we're eating fruit roll-ups or something. You know, it's all sugar. Or you know what I mean? Like, that was our version of what I thought a healthy food was. Yeah. Or, like, some granola. There you go. Granola bar is a perfect example.
Yeah.
Those, like, Quaker 99-cent ones or whatever. Like, oh, granola. I mean, it's just all chocolate and sugar.
Yeah.
So, I'm not... Yeah, well, we're going to choose that. And we can get a box of them for 99 cents.
Yeah. And I feel the exact same way. And like, even though like I grew up differently, I grew up more maybe middle class than you, but exactly. It was like the thing that balanced out your school lunch or whatever was like one of those fruit cups with the syrupy or you throw in the gushers or whatever. Right. And that's my fruit. I grew up the same way. And my parents, bless their hearts, you know, they didn't, you know, we drank soda and ate whatever. They were just trying to keep us fed and from screaming at each other,
for
Christ's sakes, you know? And I certainly have so much sympathy for that now that I'm kind of like an almost indulgent single man who can spend way too much time thinking about what I put in my mouth.
That's right.
You know, I can be like, what kind of berry will I have today?
I know. That's who I am. That's who I am too. I do want to mention one more association I have with fruit, and that's that my father is Hispanic, and I have family here, my Latin family here. They live in a very predominantly Hispanic neighborhood, and with that comes certain things that we actually have here also where we live, which is like the fruit stands, or the person walking up and down the street selling fruit. That when I see that, because my dad, I always associate that with like my dad or being Latin, and not that that's directly related, but I do associate those moments. As a matter of fact, today I sent a picture to our group of me eating a fruit cup with some chili powder on it, and that's like that's an ode to my dad, you know, and to like that culture. I feel that too, a mango on a stick, for goodness sakes, with hot sauce on it.
I mean, that's something I never experienced until I moved to LA, and it's definitely like it's one of the most wonderful parts of LA is that like on street corners everywhere, there's a guy with a little stand and you go and whatever, $4.
I know, yeah.
You get a gallon-sized jug of just mango and jicama and melon and whatever they got. He dices it up. They squirt lime on it, put some chili powder or whatever they've gotten. And it's
a good deal, but also like you, in my opinion, I feel like I'm like, I don't know, somehow paying homage to my culture at the same time. And like, this guy is just hustling.
Yeah.
So it's nice to help him out. It's a good, nice little feeling.
It is.
It's a nice
feeling. And it's like a great, it's like all, I mean, LA is known for their kind of their street food, whether it's like trucks or stands or whatever. And it's that wonderful, like, you're like literally like connecting to the city of LA.
You're
on a sidewalk, you know, you're in the city. And like part of that Latin American culture and all of that.
Yeah.
I love it. It's one of my favorite things to do. Now, because I'm a gross pig,
I believe you called yourself a piggy boy.
I am a gross piggy boy.
Great, great.
I will, if I get one of those big bags, I mean that old bag, and it makes me feel so bad afterwards. Oh, because that's too much fruit. Even for somebody like me who loves fruit. Dude, if you finish one of those big bags, oh my God.
You're in trouble.
But I love it. Okay, and so the fruit we're eating today is a golden kiwi. Mm. Or I believe the specific brand is called a Sun Gold Kiwi, and they are yellow kiwis. Do you have any association or memories involving kiwis at all?
No. I mean, my initial word association with kiwi would be money or like expensive.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if they are. It's just, it's not like, it's never in a fruit bowl in a friend's house.
Yeah. You know what I mean? They're exotic, certainly.
Yeah.
I don't know that they're like, probably berries and some other stuff are more expensive, but certainly you just don't see them that much, right? It's not something that would ever be like on the, again, in a 7-Eleven or something. They might have a banana and some apples. Nasty 7-Eleven apples. I always feel bad. Like, and again, as somebody who loves fruit, I would never buy an apple.
You said these are yellow?
Yeah.
And typically they're like,
they're green. And it's talking about the flesh.
The flesh.
Yeah. So like they all have the kind of that brown, furry, very, I don't mean to get crass.
Do it.
But it kind of looks like a nut sack.
It looks like a nut sack.
Yeah, because it's got a little bit of fur on it. It's kind of brown, maybe wrinkly.
That's all right.
But the skin, exterior-wise, they look very similar. And now another reason, I saw these, and I've never had one of these before, because they're kind of golden kiwis are more exotic, more obscure. And somebody had, I think my sister, somebody was like, oh, you got to do an episode about this. And so I saw them in the store, so I had to grab them. But then also, I thought of you a little bit, because of all the people I know, you have like one of the best visual eyes. Mm. You're somebody that thinks visually as far as like how you dress. You know, again, you just have a good eye for stuff. You like visual art, decoration, all
discerning.
That kind of discerning. You have taste.
Yeah.
Which is something I've never really thought of myself. And you've been very helpful in me growing up. A little bit.
You also have some of the best pants I've ever seen.
I owe that to you. All of that is to say, kiwis are a strange looking fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And much like we were talking about how the memories of your experience influence your food memories, well, the visual aspect of our food influences how we experience it.
Sure.
You know? And so like, I would just love your impression of kiwis visually too. Okay.
Yeah.
As well as taste and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Okay. Great. All right, so now...
What happens next?
I think we're going to... You want to pause it?
And
we'll try some fruit?
Yep.
Okay, wonderful. And I'm back with some special extra info on topics we discussed and more great kiwi facts. So in the first half of the episode, I mentioned food deserts. No, that's not a desert with the sand made of sugar crystals or the salt that came off of pretzels or ground up candy. No, a food desert, sadly, is an area of a city. Now, it can be urban, of course, or rural as well, where the residents do not have good, affordable access to healthy, fresh food. And that can be because that you know, because of something like white flight, where people left an urban area, grocery stores closed down, and there's just nothing nearby. It can also because of financial access, where the residents of that area cannot afford the healthy food that is in the grocery stores, or even a mental attitude, meaning the consumer just doesn't understand or have a knowledge of what is good or bad for them. All those factors can combine to make something into a food desert. Now, ironically, the USDA has a map on their website where they did a big study of all of the United States and designated certain areas within towns and principalities as food deserts. And Downey, California does not have a single food desert in it. The nearby areas of Bell Gardens and Pico Rivera do. That's the area that Downey is where Chris grew up. As opposed to the area I grew up in, Lake City, Florida, northern Florida on the Georgia border, almost half of my home county is designated as a food desert, according to the USDA. Now, a lot of that is because it's a rural area and grocery stores just aren't nearby, but also it's a poor area. How ironic. Here I was bragging about my middle class upbringing, and turns out I was raised in a food desert. Speaking of food, the Chinese gooseberry, the kiwi fruit, as we're talking about in this episode, some more interesting stuff about that. Fitting for the Chinese gooseberry, China leads the world in growing kiwi fruit. Italy is number two and New Zealand's number three. The U.S. isn't even in the top 10. We actually don't grow a ton of kiwi here in the States, but my beautiful current home state of California leads the way, growing almost 98% of the kiwi fruit grown in the United States. The season for that is October through May, so the colder months are when we grow our kiwi, and all the other months we're importing it from Asia or from New Zealand. I think one reason, I couldn't find specific documentation of this online, but I think one reason we don't grow so much kiwi here, A, maybe not a ton of consumer demand, but B, it's a vine fruit. The kiwi is a berry, and it grows in very similar situations and similar plots of land and in climates to the grape. And we love our grapes, and the Merlot must flow here in Southern California, in all of California, really. A couple more facts. Oh, if you're not a kiwi purchaser and you maybe don't know how to select the right one, kiwis do ripen and they get soft, kind of like an avocado or a Bartlett pear, and you want it to yield to the touch when you press on it with a little bit of slight pressure. You don't want it to be so soft that it's wrinkly or mushy, but you also don't want it to be hard, because when they're hard, they're not ripe and they're far too tart. They get sweet when they're just a little soft. And I learned a new term from the California Kiwi Board website. They recommend an eating method called slooping. Slooping, S-L-O-O-P-I-N-G, which is a portmanteau combining slicing and scooping. That's where you just cut that sucker in half, use a spoon to just scoop out the flesh, and you get a nice spoonfuls of kiwi flesh. It's a great way to eat it because the skin is very fibrous and not too tasty. It's technically edible, but it's not a good time, really. So, no need to peel it. Just scoop it right out. One last fun fact about kiwis. It contains an enzyme called actinidane. I'm mispronouncing that for sure. But it's an enzyme that acts as a meat tenderizer. Some people think it's a digestive aid as well. But because of that, it means that raw kiwi cannot be used in desserts that contain milk or other dairy products, because the enzyme digests milk proteins, thus wrecking your dessert. Supposedly, this also applies to gelatin-based desserts. And I think that means you can't do raw kiwi in a Jell-O, though I feel like I've had kiwi-flavored Jell-O. Maybe not. Maybe I'm making that up. Please report back. Send that email into fruitfulpodcast@gmail.com or send it to me on Facebook or something like that. If you've witnessed kiwi-based dessert disaster in a food desert. All right. Enough of me. Let's get back to the podcast. Well, we tried some Sun Gold kiwis.
We did.
I just want to quickly note before we talk about taste and things like that, they were, I bought them, they came in like a clamshell. I bought these at a 365 market, which is like the kind of down market Whole Foods. You ever been to a 365?
No.
It's like their attempt to be Trader Joe's, kind of.
But it's still a Whole Foods but it's production. Still,
yes. And so it's like a lot of their house brands. And it's like, I think the general thing is like, it's a little bit cheaper.
Yeah.
It looks more like warehousey, unless, okay. You know, yes.
Display heavy, yes. Or like, yeah.
Yes. Cute. It's still more expensive than a Ralph's or whatever. But
real quick, where does it compare to? Do you ever shop at Sprouts?
I keep hearing things about Sprouts. I don't think I've ever been in
I'm
one.
I'm all about it.
Really?
I just discovered it in the last 2 months. I can't stop going there.
Oh, okay. I got to get
it's
over
above
there.
A Trader Joe's, but yeah. It's below
Whole Foods.
A Whole Foods.
Okay.
Right in that sweet spot.
That's my zone.
And like the good cold brew and the good protein cookies that I eat, and they're always on sale. It's just like the spot.
You go to that one on La Brea?
Yep.
Okay. Oh, I'll check it out.
Clutch, dude.
Love it. Because honestly, I could do like a vacation of just going to grocery stores and markets.
You should do that.
I mean, like anytime I go to like an ethnic neighborhood, if I'm in like Little Tokyo or like, you know, Armenia town or whatever the hell, like all I want to do is go to their weird little grocery stores and stuff like that. Or not, I don't want to say weird because that implies judgment and I'm open to all cultures, but
we know that.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. So anyways, I bought these at a 365. They came in like a plastic clamshell, maybe like 6 to the clamshell. I think they were only $3.95, which is relatively a good price for some exotic fruit. But they came with a fun thing of like, they came with a utensil that had like a serrated knife on one end and like a small spoon on the other, just like a little plastic green utensil. And kind of with the instructions to cut the kiwi in half and scoop it out with the spoon end, which I was telling you as we were eating is brilliant.
Brilliant.
Because I've eaten kiwis my whole life or a long time. And you either peel them, you eat the skin, but it's not that great, or you got to like dice it. I like a out of hand fruit. And I was saying like this utensil means that you can eat this in your car.
Yep.
You throw this into your work lunch or your picnic basket and it's less of a production. You don't need a cutting board and a peeler and all this kind of stuff. And that's kind of how we ate them. We cut them in half and then we spoon ate them. And what were your thoughts?
As I was eating that, I thought to myself, this tastes like a fruit. I think it just tastes like if you give me the juice of that, like meaning if I didn't taste the texture and could recognize that it was a kiwi, it would just taste like sweet fruit.
Yeah.
Thing.
This tastes like a fruit is going to be the pull quote for this episode.
Well, that's kind of that's how I see a lot of fruit, to be honest.
Well, and I totally see where you're coming from because I think the part of the gimmick of golden kiwis is that they are not as tart as green fleshed kiwis. And so because of that, I think they are kind of a little bit more middle of the road. And yeah, maybe blindfolded, you might not have been able to tell. Is this a nectarine?
Right.
Is this, a pear?
Right, right.
Maybe because it is a milder flavor.
That said, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You know, and, but yeah, it tastes like fruit.
<It's>
what
good.
What did you think?
Better than some of the alternatives.
Somebody who knows the deal.
I liked them. And now, to be fair, I just bought these today and I will say to their credit, they're pretty firm. And I think you're actually supposed to let them, they ripen like an avocado or something like that. And they get a little softer and they get sweeter as they ripen. And so the fact that we were eating these like not very ripe and they were still pretty sweet. Mm-hmm, like the flesh was soft enough to spoon out and it was tasty. So I will say I got a couple left. I might try those in like 2 days just to see.
Yeah.
But like I was pleasantly surprised. I think like I'm also in a weird place with my teeth right now. I've been grinding my teeth at night due to maybe life stress.
Sure.
So my teeth are a little sensitive. And so I liked that these were not as acidic, I think, as regular kiwis.
Gotcha.
I kind of like that. I enjoyed them.
Generally, I did too.
Yeah.
I don't think that I'd ever buy them ever again.
Yeah.
I didn't buy them the first time. I don't really know how to eat fruit.
Mm.
I only buy it like already cut up and like in some kind of cup or bowl. And that'll be like a lunch for me. Will you just like during the day walk over and cut one of those? Like,
yeah.
At which point in the day?
Well, so I really like, I'm a big fruit dessert guy. And I like, after any kind of meal, a lunch or dinner, I like a little sweet or a little tart, just to, the dog's barking, just to kind of like cap the meal. And there have been periods in my life where, like, literally I couldn't be satisfied after a meal unless I had like an apple afterwards. That's like a little bit of neuroses.
Sure.
But like, I still have parts of that, of like, I like just like a little bit of a sweet treat after a meal.
Yeah, but wouldn't that generally then be like a bite of a tiramisu or...
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, that's that kind of dessert impulse. But for me, because I, you know, try to be a little healthier and like I have some guilt with sweet treats and that kind of stuff. This is like my nice middle ground.
Well, isn't that interesting? When I stopped eating sugar, like added sugar, fruit became like chocolate cake to me. After that meal, like I wanted that fucking apple and it tastes like so good because I wasn't getting sugar. Well,
and your taste buds kind of reset.
For sure.
Pretty fast.
For
like
sure.
If you are like a soda drinker who eats candy or whatever, and you give that stuff up and you go back and you have a grape and you're like, damn, exactly. You know, like it really, exactly. They do. Or it's like me, like I still like, I'm not a vegetarian and I'll eat just about anything, but like, I don't eat a lot of fast food.
Yeah.
And so like when I do have an In-N-Out burger or some Taco Bell, it is like, wowza.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And to think, for me, my whole life, that's what I ate. And now I haven't touched that stuff in years. The other day, I just had a weird calling and I went to a Taco Bell mid-afternoon on my way to to go see a theater, like a meeting. And I got one burrito supreme by itself and I pulled over and I ate it. I just wanted it. Like the first bite, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
This is not found in nature.
Yeah.
These flavors.
All that salt.
I mean,
all that.
It's like sour cream and the hot sauce and that's got sugar in it. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's funny how your body resets, right?
I know. I want to bring this up to you before, I don't know where we are on time, before we wrap up. I had just read this book by a guy named Jesse Eisler called Living with the Monks. And his first book was like a bestseller called Living with a Seal, where he had a Navy SEAL come and live with him for 31 days. But this guy, for the last 20 years, eats nothing but fruit before noon. And I think that's really interesting. That's all he's ever done. And he says, because he learned from some guy a long time ago, and so he's kept it up. And he says it's because our body digests fruit faster, so it doesn't slow you down. And then like the natural sugars kind of give you a little boost in the morning to get you rocking and rolling. I'm curious as to what your thoughts would be. Are you a morning fruit guy or even your thoughts on this guy?
See, that's funny because I'm probably the total opposite. And I eat a lot of fruit, but it's almost all afternoon or evening. I think I've just kind of like, and I go through phases. Right now I'm in like definitely like a savory, salty breakfast thing. I like eggs. Mm-hmm. And like I actually eat a lot of beans for breakfast. Mm-hmm. But it's very interesting that what he was saying, and I could totally see that. And I think I read an article. I want to say it was written by Michael Pollan, who's Pollan. I'm mispronouncing his name, but like he's a big food writer.
Yeah.
And he did this whole thing about just like food rules. And when people have specific rules for themselves, and it's kind of that idea of like, no matter what your rules are, and they can be wacko. It can be like, I only eat orange foods or whatever, right? Like they can be silly and arbitrary, but like if you follow rules, you're always healthier than people who don't have rules for themselves.
Interesting.
Even if those rules are counterintuitive or silly or whatever.
Wow.
Right? So if it's like, I have a glass of milk with every meal.
Right.
Right? Like that's not necessarily great for you. But like if you stick to it and it's like gives you guidelines, because I think like rules allow us to know what to say no to.
Yes.
And the problem with food in our current society is we have access to all the food all the time. And saying no is the hardest part.
Right.
Right. Whereas if you have something that's like only fruit before noon, well, great. Then you don't eat a bagel. You don't eat cereal. You don't eat a bacon sandwich or whatever it is. Right. Like, so he has the no built into so many things. You could also do the opposite. If you was like, I never eat fruit ever. You know what I mean? Like almost that works too, kind of. You know?
Yeah. Well, and what are your thoughts with like the fruit is sugar stuff?
Yeah, I don't know. I think about that a lot, especially like kind of, I'll have days where I'll eat a lot of fruit.
Yeah.
And it probably too much. And I do think about that because in those days, I might not eat any other carbs. And so I feel like I'm doing good, you know, like I'm kind of, or only like beans or whatever, you know, I kind of like slow carbs or however you want to think about it. But then I'm like, oh, and then I'm, you know, eating a whole bowl of sugar with all these cherries and berries and
stuff. I don't know, man. Coming from somebody who fucking ate like shit his entire life, I'm like, I don't give a fuck if I eat a whole bowl of fucking fruit.
Absolutely.
10 bowls of fruit. Like it doesn't matter. Oh, well, that's got sugar. It's like, no, not the kind of sugar I'm used to, dog. No.
And I think... As I
sorry, age. I just got really mad there.
No, I love it. I love it, dude. Passion about fruit. I think as I get older and you realize like what you value and what's important to you. And like, definitely, I don't want to live my life in a way of like counting calories. It's just like, that doesn't bring me joy and it's hard for me. And I kind of just want to like, I just want to go to the kitchen and get like a bowl of cantaloupe right now or whatever it is, whatever I got in the fridge, cherries and, or apple or whatever. Right. I don't have to worry about, I was 14 and not 12. And today I've already had two servings of whatever, you know, I just want to like, and not to say I can't be better and I need to listen to my body more and I don't always need a lot of the stuff. Sometimes I eat out of boredom, like we all do or habit or whatever, but it's like, man, when my body wants a sweet treat, Daddy's going to get himself a sweet treat. But, and it's going to be a big old juicy Honeycrisp apple. Or...
But don't you think that you would feel different if that sweet treat was a Slurpee?
Yeah, I'd probably feel bad.
Right.
Yeah. And I also have like a guilt complex. I think like that's probably my least favorite emotion and I feel a lot of it. And so like I actively try to avoid anything that might cause, and I have guilt with food. So like I think the joy I would get, and like every once in a while I'll crave, and you know, like you were talking about your burrito, like I love a good ice cream sandwich.
Yeah.
And if I'm depressed or I'm having a craving, I'll pull over to the 7-Eleven and get an ice cream sandwich. But you know what? Like I've come to realize the joy I feel from eating that ice cream sandwich, usually in the parking lot. That's right. I can't wait till I get
home. That's right.
Is usually outweighed by how kind of bad I feel about myself or whatever. And again, I'm not on a strict diet. I'm not trying to lose weight. It's not like a big deal that I have an ice cream sandwich, but it is. It's just built into my mind that I can't really enjoy it. Like I can enjoy a giant bowl of grapes or something that might have a similar number of calories to the ice cream sandwich, you know?
But, you know, I heard some comic, I forget his name, and I forget what this whole thing's about, but like there's a chapter in a book or maybe a bit he does called Just Eat the Bread. Mm. And his theory is like, just... have a, at dinner, go ahead. You want that role in that like life is too short type stuff. And it's hard for me to find that balance. Because I go like, just eat the bread means just eat all the bread everywhere, right? And then drink all the booze and then do all the cocaine.
Yeah.
So it's hard, right? Because I do see like, I also don't want to suffer. No. You know, like I wish I could eat that, but I'm.
And some people thrive on that.
Yeah.
I think, you know, like people that become professional bodybuilders or models, they might thrive on that kind of like abstinence or whatever. You know what I mean? Of like, I haven't had a spoonful of sugar in 5 years or whatever. They love that shit. Yeah. They're happy, but I'm not. Cause like, cause my thing, again, I'm not like big into like baked goods or whatever, but if I'm at a really nice restaurant, and like I see that dessert menu and it looks badass, like I'm gonna enjoy that slice of pie or cake or whatever, you know? Like, and for some reason I don't have the guilt associated with that, as opposed to I think the like the mundane eating of like, it's the afternoon, I get a candy bar and it's like, I don't really get joy out of the Snickers, but like, I'm just gonna down it. That is, I think, what I don't want. But I, if I'm with my friends, if I'm with you and we're like, I think back to our meals in Cincinnati.
My gosh.
Chris and I with a couple other guys from our improv group went to the Cincinnati Improv Festival.
Should we mention one of them by name because he loves to be mentioned?
Peter Flouet. And we all, the five of us, think back and once every 2 months, we're all standing around in a circle and we talk about, we had the best meals in Cincinnati and they were lovely and we ordered whatever we want and there were big meals. And again, circling back to like great food memories, we were together, we were all happy, we were all doing bits and laughing and joking and just living a great life. And like, we were just eating whatever. And
I know.
I didn't feel guilty for a second.
I know, you're absolutely right. Gosh, that was honestly one of the best moments and those are some of the best memories of my entire life. Was that stupid little trip? Yeah. I call it stupid because I'm getting embarrassed that like we didn't do anything monumental. We just did some improv shows, but boy, those meals and that conversation
and the people and we were all like enjoying ourselves so much. And that's fitting that we've come like full circle and talk about like how you know like even, you know, standing in a kitchen eating kiwis with you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like how fun that is and like how I'll have a positive memory associated as opposed to just me by myself on the couch or something. You know?
That's exactly right.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of maybe if nothing else, if nobody else in the world gets enjoyment from this podcast, it brings me so much joy just to eat fruit snacks with my friends. You know?
That's what makes you a saint, Zach Huddleston.
No.
You're the best.
Selfish.
You're the best.
It's all selfish. Oh, thank you so much, Chris.
Oh,
this has
my
been
pleasure.
Wonderful, man. Sorry. I wanted to, one more thing. Your visual grade of kiwis. How do you think they look as a fruit?
Yeah. Well, they look like a kiwi-ish, right?
Yeah.
A little different. That inside, the inside was something to behold, though, I thought.
Yeah, kind of like a pale yellow.
Yeah,
kind of.
Yeah. It was kind of hip.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the word I'll use, hip. Because it wasn't trying to do its impression of a kiwi, right? Oh. It's like, yeah, I get it, dude, the green, dark green stuff. This was like a little like, I'm doing my own thing. I got my own ideas over here.
Oh, nice.
So big ups to the golden.
Golden kiwis?
Golden,
yeah.
Kiwis. Also, aren't you supposed to ask me what my favorite fruit is?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Thank you. Thank sure. you. Again, you've heard the podcast.
Yeah.
You know the routines better than me. What is your favorite fruit?
I don't know. No, I mean, you know, you also coined or are trying to coin this phrase or word tweener.
Yeah.
Right? Did you remember you said that about the
yeah.
tomato?
Yeah.
So I'm going to say my favorite fruit would be the avocado.
Oh,
for
yeah.
sure. But like if I had to go with like true straight up fruit, like, you know,
yeah,
nothing
more
that
like
would be
a sweet fruit. Yeah.
Yeah, it would just be banana. And I realize this. I realize why, pardon me. Because to me, all fruit tastes like fruit. Okay.
Okay.
But more times than not, I will choose poorly or eat fruit at the wrong time. So I'm always disappointed by that plum because it's too squishy and that apple, it's too yeah. milly. And that thing, I don't know the differences. The banana, from the outside, I can pretty much tell.
Yeah.
A little too ripe, got those little specks.
It's very straightforward. The color corresponds perfectly.
It doesn't like yeah. hurt my stomach. It's the right thing for me in the morning when I'm running out with my cold brew. It's portable. It's just very, it's a good utility fruit
yeah.
for me.
They're available. They're widely available.
Widely available.
They store well if you need to throw it in a bag. I will say, I mean, I don't eat a lot of bananas, but I'm also a big fan.
Mm-hmm.
I could do a good banana episode. It's the workman of fruit.
It is. And I've been throwing them into smoothies lately.
Yeah.
My girlfriend makes this like incredible banana smoothie with this protein stuff. It's like...
Because they have a heartiness.
There's a
little bit of like a smooth silkiness to them as well.
To them.
They have a texture that's really wonderful. And the sweetness is not super in your face.
That's
with the
right.
banana.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. It's yeah. it's got that mild. Yeah. Yeah. This other stuff tastes like fruit.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Can I keep saying that over and over?
Fruit tastes like fruit.
Jeez Louise.
Okay. And then finally, well, then how about let's do this? Fuck, marry, kill. I've also been doing this a lot of episodes.
Oh, okay.
Golden kiwis, like we just had.
Uh huh.
Banana, which we know are close to your heart.
Uh-huh.
And then what's a good third fruit that we can throw in? How about a strawberry?
Great. Got it. No problem.
Because that's good. That's three good colors, three distinct
yeah.
types of fruit.
Yeah. So I'm going to kill that motherfucking kiwi.
Mm, okay.
Yeah. Because I'm going to marry my girl, the banana. Because that's a girl, you know, she'll take care of me for the rest of my life.
Okay,
I
yeah,
think, you know?
Can count on her.
That's right.
Yeah.
I want to fuck that strawberry.
Yeah,
that little sweet baby.
Fruit,
that little sweet baby. Woo!
Oh, that's the perfect note to go out on. My boy, Chris Alvarado, thank you so
thank
much,
you,
man. And I'm back for the outro to the episode. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to Chris Alvarado for being my guest. You can watch Chris in improv performances around the city. He performs regularly on the same team that I do, Heyday, which you can see once a month on Mondays at the Westside Comedy Theater in Santa Monica, and then on alternating Saturdays at Second City, Hollywood, and anywhere else that'll have us. And Chris does a bunch of other shows. He's got one coming up at the Dynasty Typewriter Theater in Los Angeles, a competitive gift-giving show with our buddy Neil Gargiulo. That's going to be a lot of fun. A few quick end notes as I wrap up this episode. The pronunciation of the author I mentioned is Michael Pollan, Poland. And he's, of course, the author of Omnivore's Dilemma, among other books, and is seen in the documentaries Food Inc. and the Netflix series Cooked. Cooked is a wonderful series. I highly recommend it. Great, great short. I think it's a 3 or 4 part series on Netflix. Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't already, I'd super appreciate if you subscribed, maybe left a little review of this sweet little podcast. Like us on Facebook at the Fruitful Podcast. And again, this will be the final episode of the first season. So there's going to be a slight format change coming up on the next episode. I hope you like it. I'll leave it vague. Ooh, so you'll have to tune in to see what that new format change will be. But my guests are going to be Matt Cavadon and Debbie Friedman, two super funny people, and a married couple. Oh, the first one of those I've had on the podcast. Please go out in your world. If you see some golden kiwis available at a store, sure, grab a couple. They're a delightful fruit. It was a wonderful discovery for me, having them for the first time during the recording of this podcast, and they might be a great discovery for you as well. All right. Have a fruitful week, everybody. Bye-bye.